Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
908, happy Monday morning to you. I am Andy Griffin. Thank you for tuning into the program today. I have a guest coming in a little while, I think, but right now, we'll just chat for a little while. Stockton Myers is with me today. Hi, Stockton.
Hello.
Stockton is getting ready for a trip to NYC.
Yes.
Yeah.
Astoria, specifically.
Astoria. I don't know where that is.
Astoria is about a 20-minute subway ride to Manhattan.
Okay. You're gonna hit the Statue of Liberty while you're there? It's its birthday.
It's funny enough. I don't think we're gonna be playing tourist because we're going because my brother is now in grad school at NYU, we've never had a family member move this far away.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
a long ways.
We wanted to show this as much support as we possibly can, and so we're actually trying to visit him every couple of months.
My wife is from Jersey. And so I've been back east many, many times. I've been to New York, and we flew into New York once. It was interesting. This was probably 15, 20 years ago, but we flew into New York and rented a van. Well, we had taken a reservation. This is like a Seinfeld episode. You know how to take the reservation. You don't know how to keep the reservation. We got there. They said, we don't have any vans. I said, well, I got 5 kids, so I need a van. And they're like, well, we don't have any vans. And I said, well, I reserved it online. I showed them the paperwork, and I got on the phone with customer support and everything. And then all of a sudden, magically, after like an hour, they're like, oh, we do have one van. Like, wait, what?
And it wasn't because they got a return.
No, it just magically appeared. There was a van. And
that's weird.
What I think happened is some VIP, some big shot, wanted the van. I had reserved it for later that day. And after me getting a little angry and showing them my paperwork and doing all this stuff, they finally were like, all right, we'll let you have the van, you know.
Yeah, so. That's...
But and then we drove.
That is a Seinfeld bit, though. Isn't
it? Yeah. We ended up then driving from New York down to South Jersey and met my parents, who were serving a mission at the time in Long Beach Island. Everybody said Long Beach is in California. Well, yes, it is. Long Beach Island, though, is in New Jersey. So,
but yeah, Astoria is more of a suburban type community. Of course, there's skyscrapers. I mean, it's New York. Of course, there's skyscrapers.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
My brother and his wife and his 3 kids, they live in a nice little home there. It's a miracle that they found it there. We consider it quite the blessing that they were able to move into such a nice place. They even have a little patch of grass in the back that's a little backyard, which is, again, miracle stuff for New York. So we're just going to be hanging out, checking out the local sites, and that's about it. But it's not really it's more just hanging out with my brother and his family.
He's going to NYU for what?
Musical theater and voice pedagogy.
Oh, nice. So are any of the Myers children following in dad's footsteps and becoming doctors?
My oldest brother is already a podiatrist.
Oh, he's a doctor.
He's a practicing podiatrist at the Foot and Ankle Institute.
Oh, nice.
So he works with, a lot of people know a Dr. Powell around here. He works with Dr. Andy Powell and Dr. Reber all the time. So,
oh, very cool.
Yeah, and then my sister is just a stay-at-home mom.
And your dad just retired, right?
Yes, my dad just retired.
Being a surgeon for how many years? 40 years?
Almost 40. Well, more like, about 40 years.
Before you were born.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
38 years, I believe, was the count. So, if you count like medical school and residency and stuff like that.
All right. And you are the bastard stepchild who went into radio.
More specifically, I went into journalism.
Exactly, me too.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a J degree. I went to J school, they call it.
Yeah, I have a multimedia journalism degree.
Yeah.
It just so happened my first job out of college just so happened to be in radio. Most of my hours go into writing, but...
Yeah, we do spend a lot of time writing.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time.
In fact, I'm going to talk about some of our articles here in just a little while. I did want to let people know today is National Chocolate Day. Oh. Listen to this.
Think of today's practice, a trial run for Halloween as we celebrate all things chocolate. The National Confectioners Association says today we celebrate the industry that took a simple cocoa bean and turned it into something magic.
Yeah.
White, dark, milk, you choose. But know the properties of chocolate are good. The FDA says chocolate is loaded with antioxidants. It improves cognitive function and reduces blood pressure.
Okay, I should stop it right there. I did stop it right there.
Yeah.
All right, here's the rest of the story.
But it's also high in sugar and fat, which ruins the fun. I'm Bree Tennis.
Thank you, Bree. I love dark chocolate. We found out earlier today that you're a milk chocolate guy.
I am, but yeah. I've actually been looking into, to celebrate Chocolate Day, I've been thinking like, oh, what could I make tonight that, like, I wanted to make some sort of a dessert. And I actually found something that's really easy to do, but I don't know how well it's actually going to turn out.
Party at Stockton's house.
Sure. I'll leave the address a mystery. That's the part of the party.
Well, the only thing that worries me is you're not sure how it's going to turn out. So it may not be much of a party.
I mean, it's pretty simple. All you do is boil milk, sugar, and gelatin into, and then you melt chocolate into the milk mixture. Hmm. And then you pour it into a cake mold and let it cool for like an hour, hour and a half. Sounds, and then you got good, like a chocolate pudding cake, essentially.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah. And it's very, like, bouncy. The video I watched of someone making it, they spank it. Bouncy. And it's bouncy. And they spank it a lot.
You need to not watch those spanking videos, Stockton.
I can't help it.
On the wire this morning, a fifth college team has forfeited its game against San Jose State's women's volleyball team because of a transgender player. The University of Nevada's players refused to play against San Jose. The forfeiture was applauded by San Jose's co-captain, interestingly, who is part of a lawsuit against the NCAA's Title IX protections for transgender athletes in women's sports. I'm guessing she's not a big friend of this Blair/Braden person who is playing on their team. The Spartans' postseason hopes actually may be in jeopardy. So you have to play a minimum of 19 matches to qualify for the playoffs. They have 8 scheduled matches left. They have 14 scheduled matches left, and they have to get at least 8 of those in, or they will not make the postseason. Interestingly, I saw a video today, Stockton, of this transgender person spiking the ball, and at about 80, 85 mile an hour spike into a girl's face and knocked her flat on her back. And I'm thinking to myself, why is this okay? I don't understand it. I did find an article, in fact, about that, written by one of my favorite authors out there. He only writes about maybe once a week, is a guy by the name of Kurt Malberg with intellectualtakeout.org. But really a good author. Let's see. I was going to quote. First of all, I'll quote the University of Nevada's statement. They said, "We demand that our right to safety and fair competition on the court be upheld. We refuse to participate in any match that advances injustice against female athletes." Well said, University of Nevada. The other schools who have forfeited matches against the University or San Jose State University include Southern Utah and Utah State, who is in that same conference. Here's another quote. Let's see. "The university and its athletic programs are governed by the Nevada Constitution and Nevada law, which strictly protect equality of rights under the law, and that equality of rights shall not be denied or abridged by this state or any other, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, based on sexual orientation, gender identity, or expression, age, disability." So the state of Nevada is backing off of it completely. They're like, this is our statement. We're not going to say anything else. We're staying out of it at this point. So Kurt Malberg writes, he said, "Perhaps the greatest irony of the transgender sports phenomenon is that it represents a surreptitious victory for the patriarchy that our culture is supposed to be protecting against, as has been observed by ex-pundit Alice Smith. Quote, transgenderism is men mansplaining to women what a woman is, and then manspreading into women's toilets, sports, halls, and jobs. Transgenderism is woman face. Transgenderism is men colonizing native female spaces to expand the male empire." The Democrat Party used to be a champion of women's rights. And they're staying out of this. They're making no statement about this.
Yeah.
And it's baffling to me. And I guess what they have is they have two areas where they supposedly champion rights, the rights of women and the rights of transgender people. And they're conflicted. They don't know what to say. They're like, we're stuck. We don't know. Okay, finally, this is Malberg. In response to a culture that says yes to everything, demands constant and immediate gratification, and indulges every appetite, they have moved in the opposite spirit. Refusal, resistance, costly sacrifice, that is the surest path to victory. One of the things that Malberg talks about, and something you and I know, you right now really are in the midst of it. You've got to sacrifice something if you want to succeed at something.
Yeah.
If you want to make a statement. Nevada Reno, they sacrificed that match. They lost the match. That's a forfeit is a loss. But in doing so, they made a greater statement. You're sacrificing maybe some of your favorite food. Maybe, what is it, Diet Pepsi that you love so much and haven't had one for a while?
Diet Pepsi, I haven't had one since February of this year.
Wow.
And now I can't even imagine going back. But it was a really, really hard ask to do because despite the label of diet on that Diet Pepsi, that it's not good for you.
No, it's not.
And so, yeah, sacrifices have to be made if you want to make a statement. In my case, it's to lose in the journey of losing weight.
Yeah.
And there are some recent changes I've had to do, recent sacrifices I've had to make in order to actually make some progress. Kind of stagnated.
But when you got to work today, you said, man, my legs are sore because...
Exactly, because I've been...
On Friday, you did leg day.
Yeah, exactly.
That was 3 days ago.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing is that my body's not used to that, so being sore. And also, when you're doing ridiculous squats and, unbelievably rough, calf workouts...
Yeah.
That's just going to affect anyone, but thank you to Officer Graf, by the way, for accompanying me.
Kicking your butt.
For kicking my butt. I appreciate it, but I actually stepped out early because I was about to throw up.
We don't want that, no.
Yeah.
So my wife is embarking. I don't think she needs to lose a pound. I think she's incredibly gorgeous the way she is, but she thinks she needs to lose a few pounds. So she has, anybody that knows Shelley, knows my wife, knows that first of all, she's in good shape. She works out all the time and just really a very health conscious woman. She loves vegetables, which I do not. We're the perfect combo. I love meat. She loves vegetables. You know, we go together. I don't know. But anyway, one thing about her, and she would call it a fault. I think it's a cute little habit. She loves cookies, though. She could give up chips. She can give up candy. She'd give up anything but cookies. You know, that whole old Meatloaf song, I'd do anything for love, but I won't do that.
Yeah.
She wouldn't give up cookies. Well, she's kind of given up cookies because she wants to lose these extra few little pounds. It's like we were just talking about. Certain sacrifices have to be made for the greater good.
Mm-hmm.
I have a saying on my wall that says, never sacrifice what you want most for what you want now. That's a hard axiom to live by.
Yeah.
Because if the free donut is in front of you, if the, whatever it is that is it looks really good right now, you've got to weigh. I think it comes with maturity as you get older, and you're an adult at 28 years old. There are things that you would not do now that you might have done 10, 12 years ago.
Oh, absolutely.
You get this little editor in your head, right, that says, I have it, although sometimes I ignore it still and say things I shouldn't say, but mostly in my head it goes, you shouldn't say that out loud, and I don't. Right?
Yeah.
Especially when certain people are in the room, like my daughter-in-law. But anyway, there are certain things that, you have to go, okay, I shouldn't say that, or I shouldn't act this way, or I shouldn't do that thing. And it's not always easy, though.
It's not. Absolutely not.
So anyway, I think, that five different universities volleyball teams have said, we're not going to play that team as long as there's a guy on the team. I did this study, this story I wrote a couple of weeks ago about the difference between a male volleyball player and a female volleyball player. Number one, the net is 6 inches lower for women's sports. Number two, the average woman's spike, just the average, is 50 miles per hour. The average male spike is 80 miles per hour. That spike that hit that girl in the face that I watched just an hour ago on video, was going at 80, I think it was 80, clocked at 80 something, 87 miles an hour or something.
So like it was above average, essentially.
It was above male average.
Above male average.
It was 37 miles per hour faster than the average women's spike.
Yeah.
So.
Which is kind of like bringing a gun to a knife fight, essentially.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I just look at this, and I have nothing against people and how they want to live their lives, but to foist that upon other people, I don't think is fair. To say you have to acknowledge me as a woman now, even though I'm a guy, I applaud Utah State, Southern Utah, Wyoming, and who else was it? Boise State, and now Nevada saying, you know, no, this is not okay. And in the interest of safety and in the interest of keeping the integrity of women's sport, we're not going to do this.
The one thing I will say about that is you wouldn't pit a heavyweight boxer against a middleweight.
Right. That's two men's sports, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But you're not going to get a 220-pound guy against a 170-pound guy.
Exactly.
It's not fair.
It's not fair, and it's the same case here. Yeah. There's a reason why when the St. George Marathon happened, when any marathon happens, who's the one to pass the finish line first?
It's a guy.
It's a guy.
Yeah.
Like 95% of the time, it's
probably
a guy.
Probably 99, yeah. maybe 100, I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just there's only so much that your biology can do.
Right.
And no matter how much surgery you can get, you know, and all gender-altering stuff, and I'm not going to comment on whether that's good or bad, but in that case, it's just the DNA is there and your physique is there.
Yeah.
And you're right. I do commend them for people drawing a line and just being like, for the safety of our athletes, we got to have some sort of regulation here.
I'm not going to. So my daughter played volleyball in high school, and she at a certain point got in the starting lineup and stuff. I thought, oh, this is really cool. Had there been a boy playing on the girls' team, even one that was transitioning or had mostly transitioned to female, I would not have been happy. I'd have been like, wait, that guy is taking away one of the spots that my daughter should have. Would have made me angry. I have a good friend, Jimmy Keston's on, on every other morning.
Right.
And his daughters, both of them were high school athletes. And he's like, we've got to protect the integrity of girls' sports. If imagine a whole team full of this Blair Madsen, or Braden Madsen is his real name, or his original name, and there are no spots for girls to be, biologically born females to be on the team. That's what we're going to head toward if we don't do something about this.
Yeah.
By the way, San Jose State's matches, all of their matches this year, they play in a conference that is, six out of the 10 teams are from California. The state of California has mandated that all California schools must play them, no matter how they feel. The forfeits, if you'll notice, are from Wyoming, Utah, and Idaho, and now Nevada. None of the forfeits are the in-state schools because California Athletic Association says, no way, you're playing. We don't care. I just, that girl that got hit in the face was from San Diego State.
Oh, my gosh.
And I just feel so bad for her. I mean, she literally took an 87-mile-an-hour spike to the face.
I mean, you also think of, like, there's that famous video of that pitcher hitting a bird.
Yeah.
And it just explodes. Yeah. Because of how fast it was going. That one was going over 100 miles an hour, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
But still, 80-something miles per hour to the face. I mean, you said it. She was actually, like, knocked out, right?
Nope. She was knocked down.
Knocked down.
Not out.
Okay.
Yeah, knocked down.
Okay.
Yeah. Knocked her on her butt. But story you wrote about, I wanted to talk a little bit about this new bus route to Zion National Park. First of all, I know they've been trying very hard to get this thing implemented and put together.
It's taken a while, yeah.
And it looks like it's happening. Well, not looks like, it is happening.
It is happening, yeah. Starting this Friday. So it's interesting. So the 9:30 a.m. on Friday, they're going to offer free bus fares to anyone starting with their on that day, starting at the Dixie Convention Center parking lot.
On Friday it's free.
Friday it's free. Okay. Saturday the next day it's not. But the thing is, it's not even that bad when it's only $5 per one way trip. So if you think about like how much gas costs and how long it takes to get out to Zion and stuff like that, and how long it takes to endure traffic on like the busier days, that's kind of where they're coming from here. And so it's meant to really ease traffic. And the you hear about why they're going, the methodology behind it, and you're like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
So, and
do you know how long it's going to take from to get, say, if you catch it here at the convention center and get it out the street? Because it's only 32 or 34 miles or something out there.
It is.
They have a lot of stops.
It's making several stops. It's going to, after Dixie Center, it's going to Washington, Hurricane, Laverkin, Virgin, and then Springdale. And then, of course, it'll make its way back. But I believe it's somewhere, it's like a two-hour trip or something like that.
Yeah, I would say at least 90 minutes to get from here to there.
Exactly. But again, you're saving a ton of money.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's moments like those, because you have moments in this line of work, and you know how this is. You have moments in this line of work where one day you're reporting on a guy going 200 miles per hour from I-70 down to Cedar City, and you know he throws a rifle over a fence and you know all that stuff. It's really intriguing. And then the next day you're reporting on Day of the Dead St. George Art Museum celebrations, and it's just like, well, that's not as interesting. And then you're like, you explain to people why you wrote on it, and then it's like, oh, wait a minute, there is something there.
As far as the bus route design, I agree with the idea that it's going to save money for the user. It'll also, I think the biggest thing to me is the congestion and pollution out at Zion National Park. If we can get less cars out there, even tourists, you know, a tourist gets a nice hotel here in town, right? They can catch a bus for $5 and get to Zion National Park and not have to worry about their car.
There's also one of the big things they said in the press release, and David Cordero told me, who works for the city of St. George. He also said that there's a lot of people who want to work out at Zion or in Springdale, but it's too expensive to live there because of how close it is to a national park. Yeah. And so what they do is they want to live here, but they want to be able to commute back and forth, but it's so expensive. This bus route helps a ton. In fact, actually, those who commute back and forth that much, they reduce that price of $5 per trip to $2.50 a trip.
Nice. I think you said $100 for a month pass, right?
$100 for an unlimited monthly pass, yeah.
22 days a month. So, yeah, do the math. That's more than that. And I like the idea that you can live here and commute there and not have to pay for gas. Just the gas alone would cost you more than that pass.
Exactly.
And then you throw in other things like car repairs and wear and tear on your tires and things like that. Plus, you can sit on the bus and look at your laptop or stare at your phone for an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to worry about the texting and driving thing there, unless the bus driver's doing it.
I hope not. All right. I've got two tickets to the Corn Maze in my hand right now, the Staley Family Farm Corn Maze. If you will give us a call here at KDXU at 673-5890, 673-5890 for the Corn Maze, Staley Family Farm Corn Maze. Two tickets. Right now, 673-5890, and we will be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back, 934 on KDXU. I think Richard's on line one, wants to talk about what, the shuttle bus, Richard?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
So, who's making money on this deal? Or us Joe taxpayers subsidizing it?
That's a good question. I don't know. Stockton, you had something to say?
So it was actually thanks to a grant from the Utah Department of Transportation. It was about $15 million grant. So it shouldn't be coming out of the taxpayers.
Well, except that's where the money comes
that's
from.
True. Yeah. That's true. But No, as far as I know, this hasn't. There's no impact on your taxes of how much you're actually going to be paying. At least that's from what I know.
Until we run out of grant money, and then we'll see.
Yeah. Well, there's also the chance that it's also the matter of like how much money is actually going to be made through the bus service and if it actually makes that money back in a timely manner. But we don't know.
So, think some of this RAB tax money they want could go that direction?
I don't I don't think so. I don't think that is related, but I'm not sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll have to talk to the county or the city and get some answers.
True.
Because it usually ends up coming out of our pocket. Sounds like it's already, if it's grant money, but.
Yeah, it's already been taken. We're never going to see it again.
Hey, I want one of you scoop reporters to get on this.
All right. Stockton will be all over
you.
Thanks, Richard.
You.
By the way, there is an open house, a Washington County Commissioner open house. I think it's this Friday. Let me look at my calendar and region over there. It is Friday. Yeah, Friday, an open house. Just go to wasco.utah.gov to learn more about their open house. I know they're pretty excited about it. It's not a usual county commissioner meeting. This is an open house specifically designed to have people come and ask questions of their county commissioners. They're an open book. They want people to ask them questions. And so I think it's a good idea. I like those kinds of things.
And they've always been open books when they come on the show.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Okay, a couple things I wanted to ask, talk about a little bit, Stockton. First of all, speeding tickets.
Yes.
You did a story last week about a guy in a Dodge Charger.
Yes.
A hot rod Dodge Charger all souped up. And the numbers you were throwing out there were blowing me away. I could not believe. So I'm going to tell you a story, two stories. First of all, when I was a teenager, I had a Dodge Polara, which is a big old V8 Dodge. It was kind of ugly, but kind of fast. And my buddies and I used to go out to Old Bingham Highway, which is now it's full of people, but back then it was out in the country on the west side of the Salt Lake County. And we got that Polara up to, so the speedometer went to 135. We buried the needle past 135. So I assume we were going about 140.
Okay.
It was scary. It was unbelievably fast and scary. Another time we went out there in my buddy's Chevy Nova, which is also a very fast car. And he was going about 120, and we saw some taillights way up ahead. And it was just me and him in the car, and he's like, "What do I do? There's a car up ahead." I said, go around him. He goes, I don't know, man. Should I go around him? I said, yeah, go around him. And he's like, what if he turns left? It could be this big old crash. It could be really scary and dangerous. And I'm like, yeah, go around him. Because I was a stupid teenager, you know. And at the last day, as we approach him at 120-something miles an hour, he's going probably 55 or 60. At the last second, John, who my buddy who was driving, slams on the brakes. We didn't skid, but we kind of jerked and slowed down and didn't pass the car. And as we got within, 75 feet of the car, we realized it was a Utah Highway Patrol car.
Oh.
Had he gone past that car like I told him to do, which, like I said, I was a stupid teenager, we would have been in big trouble, maybe even thrown in jail for going that speed.
Going that fast? Yes.
Yeah. So, the other story is, I had a buddy, I don't know his real name. We called him Taj. I don't think that was his real name. That was like his nickname. But he had, back when I was a teenager, there was a movie called Smokey and the Bandit. You ever seen Smokey and the Bandit?
I haven't, but, my dad loves Smokey and the Bandit.
There was a black Trans Am with a gold eagle on the hood and everything. And anyway, Taj had a Trans Am. I mean, I guess his parents had money because he had a brand new Trans Am. He was driving around in it and thought he was cool. And he probably was. I mean, all of us were like, oh, he's so cool, man. He has a Trans Am. Anyway, Taj was going over the point of the mountain one time. And back then, the speed limit was 55. And he was going, he told me he thought he was going between 95 and 100 when the cops picked him up on radar. So Taj pulls off an exit and goes screaming through West Jordan. And first of all, you know, the sandy, and then headed west. And anyway, going through West Jordan. And he ends up in a residential neighborhood with the police behind him, but a little ways behind him. They knew where he had gone, but they weren't right on his tail. Mm. And he starts pushing the button, the garage door opener button on his Trans Am, hoping that one of the houses in the neighborhood had the same code as his and would open. Well, as luck would have it, for a minute anyway, a garage door opened, there were no cars in it. And so he's like, sweet! So he pulls his Trans Am into the garage, pushes a button again, the garage closes, and he's like, I did it. I managed to escape the police. He was so happy. He was so excited.
What?
There happened to be a little old lady in the house.
Joel!
And while he didn't get out of his car, he figured, I'll just wait here for half an hour or whatever till things cool down, then I'll drive home. She called the police and said, there's a strange car in my garage. I didn't open my garage. He's here. Come get him. Taj got arrested.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, he was only 17, and they let him out. I think that his family had to pay something like $700, which imagine in 1984
would
be a lot of money
yeah.
to get his car out of impound.
That's definitely over $1,000 nowadays.
Yeah. And, but those speeds compared to what you were talking about in your story the other day, Stockton.
Yes.
Are nothing compared to how fast this guy, what was it? What did they say? 189 or something like that?
189 miles per hour when he was on I-15, when he was going through Beaver County.
That is, you know, the, one of the highest, DJ did a story about this, but, the highest ticket he could find in Utah for going over the speed limit was like 40 or 50, between 40 and 50 miles an hour over the speed limit.
But that case was over 100 miles over the speed limit.
Not even close. Yeah, that's unbelievable. Yeah,
that's an 80-mile-per-hour zone, so 109 miles per hour over the speed limit.
Does this person realize if they crash at that speed, it's over?
Well, and the thing is, this guy is not very bright because guess what? why were the police going after him in the first place? He wasn't going crazy over the speed limit when they first saw him. They were trying to stop him because he didn't have any license plate on the car.
Wow.
So he was doing that first off, and then he's just like, oh, obviously I need to outrun the police and I'm going to gun it. So
I don't know what the ticket is for no license plate. Probably. You know, my wife worked in the court system. A lot of what she called them fix-it tickets is if there's something wrong with your car, like you don't have a license plate or a taillight's burned out or you don't have the current sticker on your license plate, if you go get that fixed, they actually waive the fine pretty much.
Yeah.
So he probably could have gotten away with, okay, I forgot to put it on. It's at home. I'll put it on when I get home. They'll write him a ticket. He'll go to the judge, get it, the fees waived, whatever. But instead, he decides to do that. Of course, we found out later that he had some stuff in his car.
Yes, he had marijuana and psychedelic mushrooms and all kinds of other stuff. I think there was a white substance that they determined to be cocaine.
Oh, boy.
He was running for more than one reason. But, I mean, what's the deal with... I don't know why I was going all Seinfeld. Like, what's the deal with... Well, these drug dealers always driving around like idiots.
Yeah.
Because if you drive, I don't want to give advice to drug dealers, but I mean, why are you driving like, I would be so, so careful. I would be like the best driver on the planet.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I could avoid all like kind of that kind of stuff, avoid all suspicion. But this guy's like, no, I'm going to tick every box in the book to make it look like I'm a bad guy.
Yeah. And it worked.
Yeah.
He is, and he's in jail now, and. Aye. I have another story. We're going to talk about it when we come back. I'm going to get a commercial break in here. But it's a story about a guy who was in prison for a long, long time, and he didn't do anything wrong.
Hmm.
And it brings to mind a moral question to each of us. And the question is, how much money would it take for you to give up your freedom? Think about that while we have this commercial break.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back, 947 on KDXU. I'm Andy. Stockton Myers is here as well. Stockton is a graduate in, what was it, journalism, media?
Multimedia. So it's multimedia journalism. I forget the actual, it's media studies, multimedia journalism.
Nice. I have a degree in journalism as well, although there was no multimedia. The internet was a baby when I went to college. So.
Yeah. So I actually know how to operate a camera and a video camera and video editing software.
Did you ever work a camera for like a football game?
I did. That was one of the best parts about working at Utah Tech was the CEC guys that were there.
Good guys. Marcus and the gang.
Yeah. Marcus, Lauren, and James, they're the best. In my opinion, they're the
Love
best.
Them. Yep.
And you had to get a certain amount of hours filming and getting experience setting up and taking and striking down these cameras and working the switcher. And, you know, I worked replay at some of the football games, and I also worked replay at some of the basketball games, baseball games. And of course, I filmed and, you know, most, if not all the times I had to do it. And, yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. I actually, cool. Part of me was thinking, like, if this job ever never worked out, I would go and actually be a cameraman.
My brother is parlayed his working camera for many years into becoming a producer, and he is now one of the main producers and directors for Mormon Tabernacle. No, it's not called that anymore. The Tabernacle Choir at Temple Square. And he produces most of the general conferences. You'll see him right there on the stage. People don't even realize he has a little desk with a little switch light there off the side of the podium, and most people don't realize it. But every once in a while, if you see a wide shot of the stage, you can see my brother down there doing
his thing.
That's
very cool. So, yeah, they make good money.
Coming up on the show in the next little while, let's see, tomorrow, Susan Leonelli is going to be on the show. Susan is a friend of mine from the Chamber of Commerce, the Sunshiners Club, which is kind of the welcoming arm of the Chamber of Commerce. She is the president. She runs the Root for Kids program, which is a program for kids who are struggling with their education. It's kind of a cool. We'll let her explain it more when she's here tomorrow. Let's see. We're going to have one of the singers for the Doo-Wop Project on next week. Dr. Blodgett, Jimmy Kesson will be on the show on Election Day. Stockton and I, the day after the election, will try to make some sense of it all. Mayor Randall will also do up. Aaron Stark, who is with Project 47G. It's a technology thing. We'll talk more about that when we get close to it. Did want to talk. Oh, this is a cool story. This was on the wire this morning. So playing in mud and dirt could help kids build their immune system. Data on the connection between dirt play and probability of getting allergies and autoimmune diseases found that mud and dirt exposes children to microorganisms, which help with immune training. Researchers say exposure to an array of microbes teaches a child's immune system to differentiate destructive microbes versus mild ones. Children not exposed to immune training could have oversensitive immune systems, which can lead to allergies or higher risk of viral sicknesses. Dirt play also helps brain development because it is a sensory play that triggers multiple senses such as touch and smell. Did you ever play in the dirt, Stockton?
Believe it or not, no.
No, you don't.
I wasn't much of a... I prefer to stay inside and play video games. I wasn't the kind that go out and...
You didn't... Like when you were six, you were out there digging in the sandbox and stuff like that?
I think I did once or twice, like in the playground, but that was about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's not for everyone.
Yeah, I know. I'm not the best person to answer that question just because I was a bit of a germaphobe as a kid. I was actually quite the clean kid compared to my siblings.
All right. Now, I teased it before we went to break. Let me get to it now. How much is your life worth? Could you put a price on it? How much money would it take for you to spend a year in prison? 10 years in prison? 45 years in prison, perhaps? Well, an Ohio man's family will be awarded $3 million after the man was wrongfully convicted of murder and spent 45 years behind bars. I'm referring to the man in the past tense because the man died 1 year after he was released from prison after spending 45 years for a crime he did not commit. It's a tragic case all around. One man spent nearly his entire life in prison for a crime he didn't do. Another man, a murderer, got away with the crime. And Isaiah Andrews, that's the name of the guy that was in prison, never got to properly mourn the loss of his wife. His wife was murdered. He was the one that was convicted for it. But it does bring up the question, how much is a life worth? Or more accurately, how much is freedom worth to you? What would it take? How much money would it take for you to say, you know what? Lock me away for 10 years, and my family's fixed for life. In his case, he didn't have a choice, obviously. The money came after the prison time. And the family will benefit from $45 million, or from $3 million for his 45 years. But the question is it worth it? I would say if you asked him, absolutely not.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then you start, okay, let's scale it now. Okay, they're going to give you $3 million. How long would you serve in prison for $3 million? A day, a month, a year, 10 years? What's it worth?
I think, honestly, 10 years. I think $3 million is still worth a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's a tough question. But yeah, I would say 10 years.
Well, you know, the cliche, the things, the I don't know if they're true or not. The stories you hear about prison, you know, the maybe being sodomized.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe being shivved or, you know, put in, you know, a situation where you have to fight somebody with life and death. If those stories are true,
yeah,
then the answer is no, I would never do it.
True, yeah.
But if it's prison, you know, I don't know. If you were just behind bars for a few years, is it worth it? I don't know what the answer to that is. I don't know what the number is. Let me put it this way. I yes, it is. But what a length of time is the answer, is the question I cannot answer.
Yeah.
A year? Would I go to prison for a year if my wife were given $3 million when I got out? Yeah, I would do that.
Yeah, exactly.
2 years? I don't know. Five years? 10 years? 45, definitely
not.
Oh,
definitely not 45.
No matter, I don't think there's
in fact,
there's a number, right?
Financially. When they said $3 million for the 45 years, I'm like, that's not enough.
Yeah.
That's not enough for all the, like, you know, absolute awful, horrible things that happened to that family.
Well, yeah, and picture this poor guy, right? His wife was murdered.
Yeah.
They zeroed in on him having done it. He didn't. They zeroed in on him having done it. And so instead of the feeling of sadness and incredible loss of this tragedy that happened, his wife was murdered, they're like, oh, and by the way, we think you did it, and you're going to prison. And guess what? They got a conviction, and you did go to prison. Think of what they robbed of him.
Yeah.
Every day in prison. Now, I'm a big fan of the movie Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
Have you seen that one?
Of course I have.
I love that. If I were to rank my top five movies of all time, that would be in the top five. I'm not going to say it's number one, but it's definitely in the top five. And in that movie, Andy Dufresne was convicted of killing his wife. He did not kill his wife.
Right.
And he managed to build a life in prison because that was the hand he was dealt, but never gave up hope of getting out. And eventually he escaped, and that's a whole different story. And you don't escape, right? All that stuff. And went to Mexico. But every day, Andy Dufresne had to live with the idea that not only did he lose his wife, not only did some creep kill his wife, but he got convicted for the creep killing his wife.
And he's still out there.
Yeah. And the guy's still out there. Yeah. So, and I just feel for this Isaiah Andrews guy because,
yeah,
you know, no amount, I don't know that there is a number at 45
years. There's
not.
It's you lost.
A billion? What if we threw a billion at you? Would you do it?
No. It's just because that's so many. What life do you have after 45 years of?
Well, and maybe the worst ending of all, too. He finally got out, so he got to feel the vindication of getting out, but he died within a year of cancer.
Yeah.
After getting out. So he never saw the $3 million. His family will. And I guess you can say, well, they're going to take care of my family. That's nice. But, wow. Kind of humbling. Kind of sad. I'm laughing because I don't know what else to do. It's kind of sad.
Yeah.
So, anyway, at what price is the world? You know, and if you expand that out to look at the world that we live in, the freedom of being an American, and the freedom of religion. I read a good article on freedom of religion and how we take it such for granted here in the United States of America. And yet there are countries, and a lot of countries actually in this world, that are incredibly bigoted if you're not the main religion of the area.
Oh, yeah.
My nephew went to a mission in the Middle East. I'm trying to think, it was Singapore. Anyway, they were incredibly bigoted against the natives of the land who had a certain religion to the point where they were second-class citizens. And they weren't, like everybody thinks America is racist. We are the least racist country in the world, by the way, compared to these other countries who blatantly, flat out, are bigoted and racist against these people who don't believe what the main group of people believe. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And my nephew actually married one of this girl who was part of this secondary religion in this country. And he said, we can't really go back because if we go back and I apologize, I don't know the names of the group, but he said, if we go back and the main religious group finds out that an American married a girl who's of this religious ilk, they would, we would be in big trouble. They would, he to the point when he was a missionary, he used to, you know, you have to leave the country, I guess, for, you have to make what they call a visa run. You have to, you can only be in the country 3 months and they have to be out of the country for a day before you can come back.
Yeah.
And he said they used to fill his backpack with religious stuff, like books of Mormon. But he had to close the backpack and hope nobody would discover what was in there when he was coming back into the country. Because if they saw that he had those, he would be arrested. So,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah, we are incredibly lucky to be as free as we are. And I don't know that there's an amount of money that would let me, you know, that would, I would be willing to take to give up my freedom and go live in one of those other countries. I love America. I'm glad we're here. Hmm. So... it is 9:59 on KDXU. Tomorrow, again, Susan Leonelli will be on the show. And then, of course, next week we're going to have lots and lots of election coverage for you on the day of the election. And I say the day of, we've all gotten our ballots already. So the election actually turned into 3 weeks, really, instead of one day. But the day that they're going to count the votes officially on November 5th, Jimmy Kesson will be on the show. And then Stockton's going to join me the day after the election as we sort through the results of the election. We hope that we're pretty happy about the way some of those things turned out. But we'll wait and see. We're out of time now. Stockton, thanks for your help today. Good to talk to you.
Absolutely.
Back more with the Andy Griffin Show tomorrow. Suzanne will be on the program. We'll talk to you then.